Now we're ready to begin to receive the gift of divine joy, which Jesus, the I Am incarnate, promises to his disciples in the Gospel of St. John. "These things," he says, "have I spoken unto you, so that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now this may be a rather long sentence to memorize, and so we shall shorten it. My joy in you. Robert Colson says, "By using these words of the Lord, we safeguard ourselves against confusing his joy with our human joy." Now this is important, because human joy is intertwined with physical and emotional pleasures. And these are things which are transient and must inevitably pass away. As Jesus implies in the saying, our joy, however wonderful it may seem, is simply not full. It is not complete. Joy is so easily confused with pleasure. But the pleasures of this world, however exalted they may be, must come to an end sooner or later, and will be followed by pain. And the more we seek after pleasure in this life for its own sake, the greater will be the disappointment when the pleasurable experience ends, and the greater will be the frustration and anguish when the pain begins. But the only way out of this dilemma is to seek the joy of union with God, the divine I Am, which, like his peace, passes all understanding. So now, let us be still. As Colson says, let us calm the whirling thoughts which are induced by the innumerable needs, desires, aversions, and strivings which compose our human I Am, and do our best to experience divine joy entering into ourselves. Repeat the saying, slowly and gently, over and over again, for up to about 10 minutes. These things have I spoken unto you, so that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. My joy in you. My joy in you. My joy in you. We should probably want to stir our limbs a little before we enter the second period of silence. Just move about a bit, and then we resume our contemplative posture. In the second silence, we shall seek to receive divine joy more deeply into our hearts, into the feeling part of our nature. There's no need to say much more about divine joy, because it's an attribute of God which will become clearer to us the more we seek it in contemplative prayer. But we should take note of Colson's warning about the difficulty of renouncing human joys. We have probably already renounced the more gross pleasures of the senses. But, as Colson reminds us, we are quite likely to seek aesthetic or intellectual pleasures, satisfactions in work, joys in human relationships, even though our reason tells us that they are conditioned, precarious, and transient. These too must be renounced for the sake of divine joy. But as we fill up our human emptiness with divine joy, so we shall be enabled to share that joy in the world, and especially with those we love. So we come to our second silence. These things have I spoken unto you, so that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. My joy in you. My joy in you. My joy in you. Having received a measure of divine joy into our mind and into our heart, we now receive it into our will. To do this, we may very briefly call to mind a person or a situation in which the attribute of joy is noticeably lacking. Perhaps we can visualize ourselves actually meeting that person or going into that situation. Humanly, there's little we can do about it. And if we just try to cheer people up, that's very superficial, and it only seems to make matters worse. So, instead of using our own resources, we immediately recall the word of divine joy. My joy in you. My joy in you. We try to immerse the whole situation into a sea of divine joy. Let that joy wash over the afflicted people for their healing and refreshment. The more we have received his joy, the more we can share it. So use the final silence in this way. Hear the word, my joy in you. Picture the scene, the person, the people involved. Recapture the word, my joy in you. My joy in you. And reflect that word like a mirror. You, John. You, Mary. You in sorrow or misery. My joy in you. My joy in you.